Hey, now's the point where I check to see if my mic is on, and it is. So we're good. Well, grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On behalf of the staff, session, and members, I'd like to welcome you to Cook's Church. We're delighted that you're here to worship the Lord with us in spirit and in truth. It's an important Sunday, as it's always a Sunday in the Lord, but we also have a congregational meeting this morning, Sunday, June 23rd, immediately follow worship. There's only one purpose to this meeting. It's to discuss and agree upon the sale of an additional portion of church land, approximately 2 acres attached to the present property for sale. That meeting will take place immediately following the worship service this morning. I decided, coming back from vacation, I would not do a Cook's Cares cooking class tonight. I hope you'll forgive me. But we'll be back in action next week. The Sunday school class, which is always the sweeter deal of the two, is meeting. So that's at 6 o'clock, and I invite you all to join us for that. Next week, the Cook's Cares cooking class, it's a member request. We're going to be doing stuffed peppers. Stuffed peppers. They should be good. They're good. Okay. So it's our adult Bible study. Don't miss that at 6 o'clock tonight. Also, be sure to read about our summer cereal box collection going on through August 18th, our Children Hope's Alliance Love Box collection going through next Sunday, June 30th, and our upcoming Vacation Bible School on July 27th. All of that, those information are available in your bulletin this morning. The beautiful flowers today are in loving memory of Emmett and Pat Thompson and in honor of Jennifer Roser, as all three of their birthdays were or are this week by their family. Those are the announcements that I have this morning. Are there any announcements that need to be brought before the congregation at this time? Hearing none, let's prepare ourselves for the worship of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Come, let us worship the Lord with gladness and sing praises to his holy name. He has turned our mourning into dancing and our clothed us with joy.
His mercy endures forever and his faithfulness to all generations.
Let us lift our voices in thanksgiving and proclaim his wondrous deeds.
Blessed be the name of the Lord who redeems and restores us. Amen.
Let us continue in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you with hearts open to your presence. We acknowledge your power and sovereignty over all creation, recognizing that you are the source of all healing and restoration. As we gather today, we ask that you prepare our minds and spirits to receive your word. Stir within us a deep sense of your love and compassion. Help us to understand the depths of your grace that brings wholeness and refreshment into our lives. May your Holy Spirit move among us, bringing comfort to the weary, hope to the discouraged, and strength to the weak. We seek your touch, O Lord, believing that your healing power is at work in our lives. Open our eyes to see your miracles and open our hearts to embrace the transformation you offer. Guide us to trust in your goodness and to walk in faith, knowing that you are with us every single step of the way. Bless this time together, and may our worship bring glory to your name. In Jesus Christ's holy and everlasting name we pray. Amen. I invite those of you who are able to rise now and join me in the singing of our first hymn, Let All Things Now Living.
Protected and saved us.
First John declares to us that if we say that we are without sin, that we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But that if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of any and all unrighteousness. It's in this place that we step forth boldly to proclaim our sins and to share them with one another vocally, and then to go to the Lord before Him in silence and give Him the things in our hearts that should not be there. Join me in our prayer of confession found in this morning's bulletin. Lord, we confess our doubts and sins. Forgive us and restore us by your grace. Lift us up to walk in your ways with renewed faith and courage. Fill our hearts with your love and sight, transforming our lives for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Friends, hear the good news. By the waters of our baptism, we've been washed by our Lord Jesus Christ and given the certainty of eternal life with Him in the kingdom of God. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven forever and ever. Amen. Now let us sing our faith, our affirmation of faith. Please be seated, and if we can have the children and youth come forward for a time that's just for them.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
How is your summer going? Is it going good? How was the beach? Was it good? Good. Oh, I almost forgot. There you go. You put your... Pastor Jason's going to preach this morning on Acts chapter 3. There's a story in there about a crippled man and what happened to him. And who in the Bible would perform miracles? Jesus did. But after Jesus ascended into heaven, his disciples had the Holy Spirit come on them so that they could heal. And so this story is about them, Peter and John, and they saw this crippled man and they healed him. Now, do you know anybody that's crippled? Do you know what that means? You know what it means?
Did they look at
you? Okay. Okay. We'll just use you as our sermon then. How can you help Miss Kelly? Can she do she can do most everything than anybody else can do, but what can you do to help her? Open doors for her. Yeah. Yes. Help her open doors. Okay. Good. Well, I want you to remember that. Now, we can't perform miracles, but we can help those who need help. So next time you see somebody, maybe at the grocery store, you see somebody that's in a wheelchair or has a cane, walking with a cane like my husband, or on crutches. Let's see what we can do to help them, okay? Pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for our ability to help others. In Jesus' name, amen. Hope you continue to have a good summer.
Again, we are doing a new hymn each month. So please let me know, give me input, if there are certain hymns that we have not sung in a while that you'd like to sing. And the thing that, as a music leader, that used to bother me a lot, we would have a hymn of the month in the church that I grew up with, and they'd sing it once, and then they wouldn't sing it again. So when you go to sing it again, nobody knew it. So that's why we're doing this every 3 weeks for the next couple of months, so we can learn a new hymn and put it in the repertoire. So again, if you have any suggestions, please let me know. So our special this morning is Mighty is Our God, which is appropriate for every day in our life.
Mighty is our God, mighty is our King.
come now into a time of reading and proclaiming God's word, and as always, we begin with a prayer for illumination. Join me as we pray. Almighty and eternal God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we just ask that you now speak to us afresh. Take this word, ancient and true, and we pray, give it life by your Holy Spirit's power, enabling it to soften our hearts, enabling it to penetrate into the marrow of our bones so that we might hear and know with certainty what it is you would have us know and do this day of your world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. There is a bit of confusion with the psalm. We'll be reading Psalm 121 today, but not 123. You've got 123? We're reading 123.
I didn't get the message.
No, we're good. We're good.
I know. Which do you want me to read?
123 is perfect.
Okay. We will be reading 123. I don't know what's on the screen.
123 is perfect.
Okay. You can find it on page 613 in your pew Bible. So Psalm 123, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth, and he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore.
I'm going to open up the passage a little bit beyond what I had in the bulletin. I'm going to go to Acts, the end of Acts 2 to pick up our reading. Specifically, I'm going to start on Acts 42, and then I'm going to read through verse 10 of the third chapter. Hear now the word of our Lord. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone that as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3:00 p.m. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he looked at them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to share with you one of the things that's interesting, I guess, about being a pastor, and I guess it was understandable, but I didn't quite recognize just how much I would take in. But being a pastor, and especially with the training that they make you go through in the hospital for a couple of months, you really end up seeing people in a lot of medical situations, whether that's before a surgery or recovering from some illness in a hospital. But sometimes you're called and it's an acute stage where the person is still in a world of pain. And anybody who's ever nursed or sat beside somebody who's enduring a tremendous level of pain can recognize it on their face, can't you? You can see the contortion that it brings. I'm reminded of that because I was at a particular congregant's side who was going through a really intense level of pain, and I was there in the room when I guess it was morphine, guys, I don't really know, but some kind of analgesic liquid was administered intravenously. And it was almost as if the relief on her face was instant. Like it went from being twisted with this pain to having a sense of placidity, placidness about it, a real calmness of spirit. I've seen it before. I'll never forget one time I was in a memory care unit. And for some reason, there was a really negative spirit with this woman. She was agitated and angry. And I just happened to be visiting somebody else and walking by. But in her mind, I must have looked like a friend or a benevolent neighbor or somebody from her past. And it was just instant. She grabbed a hold of my hand and she just smiled, the biggest smile ever. I don't know who I was in her heart or in her mind at that point, but I was just glad to be it because it had brought a real relief, an immediate sense of change and gratification. You know, we get this story today from the beautiful temple, beautiful gate at the temple about this miraculous healing. And it's one that I think that causes us a little bit of nervousness. Again, I come back to a very significant time when I was doing my seminary training and studying under some of the top leaders in the church. And I remember one professor very clearly instructing us, the class, never to preach Acts in any real relevant capacity, because his fear was the power of the church has changed too much, that people would feel impotent in a way if you really preached Acts to them, because they would feel as though that the power that the church had was mystically gone. I'm here to tell you, this is not a sermon on faith healing. But I am here to tell you, I see no act or verse of Scripture. I see no passage that says that the power that the church had in that first generation would somehow mystically disappear, right? It doesn't. There's no verse. In fact, it's the expectation that the apostles and their continuing disciples would continue to do wondrous acts. Now, yeah, that might make you say, well, Jason, what do you think of faith healers? And I will tell you, I think most faith healers are scam artists. I don't know them all, and I hesitate to put a blanket thing on it. But wherever there's money involved, people's hearts tend to be corrupted and corruptible, and you ought to be paying very close attention. But no, contra Dr. Boyce from my seminary training, I do not believe that the power of the church has magically disappeared or somehow minimized. It is, in fact, there very strongly. But that's why I wanted to come back to that passage immediately preceding it, because what immediately precedes it sets the stage for what happens. When I read that section before, we were talked about brothers and sisters in Christ, apostles and disciples, gathering together on a daily basis to listen to the apostles' teaching, to sing hymns and songs, and to break bread together. This was an ecstatic community that met and loved each other, and buried in there, did you see, that nobody had any need. They all were willing to sell what they had and put it into a common pot. It's from that position of joy and strength and certainty in a community of people that love that enable the acts of boldness to go out into the world. It's because the people are in fellowship with the Holy Spirit of God, who we read about very powerfully in chapter 2 of Acts. Well, now that Spirit exists and surrounds an entire community, providing them with the power to do the miraculous. Now, again, miracles, as a word, sometimes we think they don't exist. But I promise you, friends, I promise you, if you talk to your colleagues here at the church, if you talk to your brothers and sisters in Christ, you are going to hear not only one, but dozens of them. They happen. They're not as rare as we talked about. Sure, they may not be as common as a YouTube video is right now being streamed by some kid somewhere. That's about a guaranteed certainty. But they do happen, and they are still happening. And they happen wherever the name of Jesus Christ is being proclaimed. That's the certainty. I wish you guys could have seen and experienced some of the things I've seen and experienced in my ministry. And you would absolutely know it was true. Peter, though, after this miraculous healing, makes a strong declaration. The rest of chapter 3, the parts that I didn't read, verses 11 through 26, consist almost entirely of a sermon by Peter. And I'm not going to read the sermon, but I'm going to summarize it for you so you get a sense of where he's going. Because as we study Acts over and over, you're going to hear this same pattern and repetition repeated. It is the standard sermon of Acts, and it's the one we can't miss that led and saw to thousands of people joining every day. So as Peter and John have performed this miraculous act, remember, this man was sitting at the beautiful gate for over 20 years. 20 years he was plagued with having to be brought out to beg for his living. Can you imagine the effect that would have on his soul to every day know that the only way he was to be fed was by the generosity of others? You can sense that he was actually taking advantage of it. There, being at the beautiful gate, he was at the most prevalent gate to enter the temple courts, and they were wheeling him out right at 3:00. Faithful Jews at the time had a couple of practices. They followed the Torah, they gave alms, and they went to the temple to pray 3 times a day. So 3 times a day, this man would have had to deal with his shame and his ignominy. He would have felt miserable, not being able to perform, not being able to help. He would have felt that shame. And then Peter and John come to him, and they've got good news, right? They don't have any money to give. Why didn't they have any money to give? Because they were sharing it all, right? They had no money to give, but they had a gift, didn't they? And the gift was nothing short of a miracle. They put their hands on the man. He not only gets up, but he jumps and jubilantly, you can imagine, dances into the temple to pray for the first time in generations. This man's life has gone from a place of darkness into a place of light immediately. And it couldn't help me. I couldn't help but thinking of that immediate sense of relief I had seen on those ladies' faces in medical context. And I realized this man would have had a smile that surpassed even those. That the joy that this man felt, that his shame and his lameness was healed in an instant, would have been amazing. The ebullience with which his character would have overcome with joy, you can only imagine it. You see, because Peter then goes on to tell people, he dispels a couple of myths. First of all, he says, this healing is not magic. That's important. It's not magic. And then he tells them very clearly that it's not even him. That all the power, every scintilla, iota, midge, mite, dot, or orb of God's power is all God's, and it comes from him. And the healings that take place are done through the name of Jesus Christ and through no other name alone. Healing is still done like that. We might conflate it with doctors and nurses, but the healing power, the restorative power, is always and is God's. And God has given that healing and restorative power to the church. And sometimes the church has done a dreadful job with it. Miracles still happen, folks, but maybe they're not happening here as much. Maybe we're not living as faithfully as we once lived. We can look and see that time in Acts and wonder. But maybe the question is, we haven't listened to the entirety of Peter's sermons. Because Peter's sermons, as all the sermons in Acts, follow a very standardized formula. The first thing that's declared is the truthfulness of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is the Son of Man, is most importantly the suffering Messiah mentioned in Isaiah. He is the one that was promised. He does initiate the new covenant. Peter all of the sermons of Acts begin in that place, that Jesus was the fulfillment of Old Testament scripture. The second step's a painful one, because then it turns onto us and you. And the second part of these sermons are also often, but you killed him, right? But the irony, the funny part of the sermon is the thing that what we did was the worst in the world. God has in fact used that to perform the greatest miracle of all. By his stripes, by Jesus Christ's wounds, we are healed. Jesus Christ took upon himself the body of sin. Everything that we ever did, ever gonna do, Jesus took the penalty upon himself and lived that out on the cross for us and for our salvation. Because of that, we can know by the waters of baptisms, our sins are washed away. It's in this passage, in this sermon, Peter makes mention of parchment. Now, parchment paper was so highly prized, it was reused. And oftentimes what was written could easily be wiped off. I want us to think about like that in a more modern context. I want us to think about, what if there was a whiteboard? Now, I got a whiteboard over there in that building for teaching a class. And I can imagine it wheels, right? You can take it wherever you want to go. Now, I want to imagine to us, what if every one of us had to write all of our sins on that whiteboard? I know I would have to be front and back. I don't know about you, but there's just not one side is not going to handle that thing. But you had to wheel that thing around, and everybody you'd meet could look and see, and your shoulders would slump over, and you'd be like, yeah, that's me. Yeah, that's me. That's me. But what God says is you're not the sins on some white board. In fact, you're so thoroughly not that, that Jesus Christ, no doubt, has come and gone to that whiteboard. And for me and my both sides, he's taken a dry erase marker. He's wiped all of them off for you and for me and for us all. And now we carry around white sheets because of what Jesus did. Though your sins were like scarlet, what does the board say? I will make them like snow. Jesus removes our sins, even though we killed them. That's why I always come back to that saying in Romans, that verse, while we were yet sinners, while we were yet in the dark, Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And in his laying down for life, Peter gives us some things that happen. First of all, we're immediately refreshed. When we turn ourselves over to the gospel and when we repent of our sins, which is part and parcel of every sermon in Acts, is repent and believe in Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. And as we do that and give our lives to Jesus, that sense of relief is immediate, just like that shot, just like I was to that woman in that room. Because you realize the truth. It's buried in you, whether you believe it or not. It's inscribed in your heart. If you don't believe it, just repent and wait and see. Because it has that effect. It opens us up. It's the antidote to the gospel that is self-esteem now, that beats us back and tells us that we're perfect and it's only the things in the world that make us bad. What the gospel tells us is what's inside of us that makes us bad. But that what's inside of us has been defeated. That sin itself has been consequentially defeated and is living out its final days here on earth, that one day even sin will die, just like death will die. Why? Peter tells us, because what of Jesus Christ did in his life, death, and resurrection. Friends, we have a new life. We have light in the darkness. We have an amazing ability to be transformed. You know, I got the chance to be on a holiday with an amazing family for a week. If you had known me in my 20s, you would have prognosticated the outcome of that as zero, right? But something got in the way of me, and that person was Jesus Christ. And that person, Jesus Christ, continues to change lives. I wish you could see the things that I've seen. I've seen a prostitute become a lawyer. I've seen a drug dealer become a doctor. I've seen a man walk his daughter down the aisle that hadn't talked to her in 10 years, But there was the Spirit of Christ that came with such reconciliation that the two not only were reconciled, but that he walked her down the aisle. It was an aisle that she had declared in her youth that she would never allow her dad to be at. And it's happened by the power and faith in Jesus Christ. So if you tell me that miracles don't happen anymore, friends, I tell you hogwash. Go get a new set of eyes and go listen to some stories. Because what you're going to find is that the miraculous power of God is still alive, still loosed on this earth, and is still being performed wherever God's people are gathered in the way that God wants them. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of prayer in which we lift up to God the concerns of the world, the concerns that weigh on our hearts, and the concerns that weigh on our community. Let us pray. Dear God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you this day for the sacrifice that Jesus Christ laid down. For we know that through him, you have remedied our sin and prepare us for the glories of eternity in your kingdom, God. That all came about because of your Son, Jesus Christ. There is no other name to be put on par with Jesus. And so, Father God, we just lift up the strong name of Jesus and put the entirety of our lives behind him. Because we know in him we find not only relief from our sins, but we find relief from ourselves, from the tyranny that is me. For God releases us into a space that is pure and filled with joy and love and service as we repent and turn our lives over to him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this power that still changes life in this world. Father God, we recognize that you are the only true and righteous source of life. And so, Father God, we beseech you, coming to you from the depths of our hearts, asking you to relieve the people and situations that we find so troubling. Father God, we thank you for the return of Sarah Yarborough home, and we look forward to Jill Griffin doing likewise and pray for her in the interim. We pray for Pat Hager, and we're especially mindful of people like Johnny Quinn and Nancy Smith and their families that are grieving the loss of loved ones. We think of mothers that are suffering presently and pray for them. Father God, knowing that our moms are so dear to our lives and our souls. Gracious God, we lift up to you all the names on our prayer list. We pray, Father God, for our first responders. We pray for our firefighters and for our policemen and our EMTs. Just as we pray for our soldiers, Father God, that are serving to keep us safe. We make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being, concluding our prayers with the prayer he taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. At this point, please feel free to use any of the following options to donate to Cook's Church and their mission to serve Christ in this area. The QR code located in the pew racks or on the bulletin to donate electronically, online giving, or also the plates on the way out. Thank you for supporting Cook's Church.